All right, we'll call the meeting of the Agriculture Rural Economies Veterans Affairs to order. Just note the roll today. First up, Representative Hawes. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you very much.
Representative Hawes, let's see here. I move House File 279 for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
Would you like me to
proceed?
Thank you. I'll speak to my bill. House File 279 clarifies and extends slightly the benefits of an old law which was called the War Orphans Act of 1943. That name now has been changed by amendments through this process to War Survivors Act. We have our increases were previously to the children of veterans or soldiers that were killed in service, and our increases to the spouse. There is also an annual educational stipend of $750, and the spouse would be receiving that stipend as well. There is a new definition of residence, and the resident definition was amended. The resident eligible here is based on the time of enlistment of the veteran or his or her reenlistment. In addition to other changes, it was noted that this bill is active for peacetime as well as in war. So because of the evolving of this bill, those clarities have been added, and again there has been the addition of the spouse and also the resident requirements changes and the noting of the peace and wartime change. That is my presentation, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Is this available? Is this a one-time or an yearly while they're in school stipend?
It is an ongoing, and the base of the dollars are also some of the base of the dollars would be found in your House File 1730. So there is dollars also found for the original program as well.
Okay. Commissioner, you got anything to add to this?
Chair Junkie, my name is Clark Dyrud, Commissioner of Veterans Affairs. This is much needed. I really want to commend the changing of the name. War Orphans has always been a little strident or a little hard to hear, so I really commend the action being taken there. And the dollar amount is relatively small, somewhere in the neighborhood of, we're expecting maybe 35 maximum widows. And so the dollar amount for our agency is $26,000 a year, and that would come from the state Soldiers Assistance Program. That's where it comes from now. And so we have asked for, as Representative Hawes points out, we've asked for an increase in that program last year and this year. And so we are prepared for the fiscal impact of this. And sitting in the audience is Steve France from the Minsky system, and they are prepared to absorb, they calculate somewhere in the neighborhood of $40,000 in tuition waiver, and they are prepared to deal with that.
Mr. Commissioner, Representative Hawes, this is the last dollar program too, like
it
some
is
of the
last
others
dollar program.
Is it an automatic, or do they, or is it a last dollar?
When I had studied it, I thought it was last dollar. But let me refer to the expert here.
Chair Junkie, it's been such a small program, and it hasn't in the past been a last dollar. Okay. And I think what gets confusing right now is that there is. Conceivable, there's the Minnesota GI Bill that's tracking through, and that is a last dollar.
Okay.
And there could be some crossover, and but this typically was something, the $750 a year that we gave, and then the tuition waiver that has not been for the war survivors part. It has not been a last dollar in.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for that clarification. Mr.
So we have a fiscal note. You say you're adding about 35 spouses, $26,000 a year, according to the fiscal note. So add it to your the fiscal note. Let's see, 08 and beyond is about $66,000. You think that's plenty to cover it? That's accurate based on your past figures. You'd confirm this is a good fiscal note?
Chair, Junkie, we confirm this is the best we can do right now.
Okay.
We think this is accurate.
Okay. Any questions to the author or the commissioner? Seeing none. Thank you, Representative Hawes. Your bill will be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
Thank you. Thank you for your questions.
Representative Shemansky moves approval of the minutes from March 13th. One spelling correction, Klaven is K-L-E-V-E-N, will be made to them, not C-L, whatever it is here. Other than that, any other discussion on the minutes? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are adopted. Next bill up, is Representative Yaros here yet? No. Okay. Who else we got? Anyone here that we can hear a bill? Faust, come on down. Get you guys out of here early if we can keep bumming along. I imagine you got a witness that's going to come up.
Yes, I do. That's Ripper calling him a witness.
Witness Protection Act. Sometimes.
Do I need your disease?
I'm not sure. Welcome, Representative Faust. Representative Faust moves House File 1140 for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Representative Faust.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What this bill basically does is appropriates money for the county fairs across the state. And I'm just going to turn it right over to Jerry Schoenfeld, who I think you all know, and he will talk more about it than I care to.
Representative Schoenfeld, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Jerry Schoenfeld. I'm working with the Minnesota Federation of County Fairs today. And as many of you do know, there are a number of people here that are new to the committee, but for those of you that have been here before, as most of you know, there is some aid that does go to county fairs and has for, I think, over 100 years. That distribution formula is in Chapter 38 of the county fair laws. And basically what it says is that the amount shall be computed as follows. On the first $750 of premiums paid by each society, the society shall receive 100% reimbursement. On the second $750 premiums, they shall receive 80% reimbursement, and so on as it goes down. The last time, to my knowledge, that there was any increase in the actual dollar amount to this was 1988. And since that time, it has expanded. So what we're asking for, I think the bill reads $465,000, but just to make it clear, there is in the base budget of the Department of Agriculture at the present time $349,000. Even though the bill says $465,000, what we're actually asking for is a $116,000 change increase per year.
So the Mr. Schoenfeld, the it's $349,000 plus $349,000 now in the base.
Right.
Is that correct?
Yes.
All right.
And in the distribution portion of the law, what it says is that if there is not enough funds appropriated by the legislature, it shall be prorated. So basically, that's what's happening. They're prorating it, and they're getting about two-thirds of what the law asks for. So what this bill does is bring it up to the level of actually what the bill states the county fairs are supposed to get. And there just hadn't been a change since 1988 in the actual appropriation amount. So it based upon the most recent year's entries,
this will cover
it. Will cover it at that rate to pay what the law says they're supposed to receive. So that's the basis of the bill. Mr. Chairman, I just might, not to prolong this, but I just wanted to point out a couple of quick things, and that is that one of the reasons that this is important, it is not a huge amount of the budget of these fairs. In many cases, it amounts to 5% to 10% of their budget, but recognize that you're dealing with budgets that basically are operating in the red for the most part, so that that 5 or 10% becomes pretty important to them. And one of the things that they're dealing with at the present time, recognize, too, that most of these fairgrounds were put in place 100 or 150 years ago at a time in which most cities really wanted them. Today, they are in places because they've been there that long, in many cases in which they're prime property for development and so forth, and in many cases, cities don't want them so much as they once did. Because of that, there are a number of things that have affected these fairs beyond just this appropriation. For instance, you are all aware of the cuts in local government aid that took place in the last few years. Those cuts in local government aid translated to less funding from local sources such as counties and cities that used to give more money to the fair that they would appropriate directly. So those have been cut. In addition to that, the state has increased a number of mandates that the fairs must comply with. And some of these you'll recognize. For instance, mandates and increased security, mandates and the bleacher mandate that went through a few years ago, so that almost every fair we had to change their bleachers and improve them at a considerable cost. Handicapped accessibility. Now many cities are requiring beer garden fences where it used to be maybe a, you know, they put some posts up and some orange wire around it. Now they're requiring, in many cases, fences that are 8-10 feet high and chain-link fences and so forth. In addition to that, food inspection at the fairs have become more challenging, and also sanitary conditions. So that in all these cases, most of these are driven by state laws or county or city ordinances that are increasing requirements on these fairs, so their costs are also going up considerably. And the other thing I would tell you in a broad perspective is they are also being challenged in many regards relative to other sources of income that they're trying to use to pay for the fair. For instance, last summer we had a situation where county fairs often will rent out their space during the wintertime to store boats, or they'll store cars or whatever. In some cases, cities are trying to challenge those situations, even though the law is on the side of the county fair. They are trying to challenge and say, you know, you can't use that for commercial rental. And part of the thing that is happening there, for instance, people that are putting up their own private storage units, as an example, are saying, well, that's competition for us, and we don't like it. Even though the fair has been doing it long before they ever put up their rental storage. So those are the kinds of issues that are confronting them and causing squeeze, and so therefore these kinds of funds become even more important.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Schoenfeld, so the difference between the governor's recommendation and this bill is about 116, is that what?
$116,000 per year. Mr. Chairman. The governor's, I guess there is no separate recommendation, but it is, they do have a base that is included in the Department of Agriculture budget, and I would hope that this would simply be added to part of that base.
And, Mr. Chair, Representative Schoenfeld, do you know if the department has filled Mr. Osnes's deputy commissioner position yet?
Mr. Schoenfeld.
Mr. Chairman, I do not know that, Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair, it would seem that deputy commissioner position would be about $116,000 a year plus the benefits. I would certainly prefer funding the county fairs and
Reverend hiring. Hansen, I think they might have filled it. Have they filled that position? I'm looking at the only ag guy I can see in the audience. So, do you know?
I believe they have.
All right. I think they have, but I don't know who it is yet. So.
Well, just, you know, that's, a patronage job that if they did fill it, it could have gone out to the counties and helped out the county fairs.
Representative Hansen, just because they filled it doesn't mean we have to fund it.
Mr. Chairman, I would mention one other thing, if I might, and that is that before this committee in the past, we have had similar bills, and we had one during Governor Ventura's administration, and he vetoed the bill. So we've had it passed through this committee a couple of times, and so as we look at it, maybe there could be some creative ways to kind of veto-proof this, since it's not necessarily on anybody's agenda.
We'll see what we can do. Any other questions, members? Seeing none, Representative Faust will lay this over for possible inclusion. Thank you.
Thank
Representative
you
Yaros is in the room.
Thank you,
Welcome, Representative Yarrows. House File 451 is before us for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. As you know, this is the third time we're before many of you, and it's a bill that was taken from Wisconsin. I had a call last biennium from one of the members in Duluth, and we drafted the bill, but it was too late to process it. As you see, the House File 451 would authorize the funds the Adjutant General and the Commissioner of Veterans Affairs to pay certain soldiers and veterans service organization provide honor guard services at the funeral of deceased National Guard members and veterans. They don't want to be paid for it, and in northeastern Minnesota last year, I believe there were 208 funerals, and these people are doing an excellent service and an honor to our veterans, but you know, they should at least be compensated for part of their expenses, gasoline and so on, because especially in the non-metro area, they go far from their home a lot of times and drive, and there are expenses involved, and we're asking just for $50 per funeral to help with their expenses. And we have the Commissioner of Veterans Affairs here also. We'd like to say a few words.
Commissioner, welcome again.
Chair Junkie, my name is Clark Dyrut, Commissioner of Veterans Affairs. We were asked to prepare a fiscal note on this. It becomes quite high quite quickly. We realize, sadly, that there are over 12,000 notices of death that the VA puts out every year, and about 3,500 of those veterans are buried at Fort Snelling. And so working backwards, we have come up with a fiscal note of about $275,000. And there are, I think there's a couple of points. First of all, if this were to not be funded, but passed, it would be a very large, it would have a very large fiscal impact on us. You know, our total budget is not as large, obviously, as you know, as many agencies. So this would be a very big hit on us if it were passed without funding or less than adequate funding. So that's one point I would like to emphasize. The second point that is a little, and I was just talking to Representative Yarrows, and it, since this has come up, we are looking at service organizations who do have a gambling operation, pull tabs, something on that order. There is something in the law that allows them to use gambling funds for honor guards. And here is there hasn't been enough time to get to the bottom of this. I was just telling Representative Yarrows, but it appears that some posts choose not to do that. Their honor guards want to volunteer to do this. And meanwhile, as the representative has pointed out, I think the honor guard he brought down was more or less freestanding. It wasn't associated with a particular post, VFW or Legion post as such. So, you know, you do have some honor guards who wouldn't have access to charitable gambling, but you have a whole lot of honor guards who do, and we're not sure how that, if they're taking full advantage of that. So those are just a couple of points I wanted to make on this.
Commissioner, I see the note here for military affairs too. That's for you don't do National Guard burials, is that right? Or that, I mean, that's the separation here. The military affairs does National Guard funerals and reimbursements, and you do all other military?
Chair Junkie, I know that within the Guard, they have ability to pay an amount of money for people from the Guard who are living in a certain part of the state who will come to a funeral. And I don't know the details of that. I don't know if anyone in the room does. But there is some provision
but that's for retired Guard members or active Guard members who will go to a funeral. But we are not, Department of Veterans Affairs is not involved with that, and I'm sorry I can't speak more clearly to that point.
Well, and Representative Yaros or Commissioner, I see there's nothing in either of those columns for this year, so this is something brand new?
Chair Junkie, yes.
Okay. I'd look to staff, fiscal staff, can we fill in these lines on 117 and 118?
Chairman Junkie, if you would, if we use the numbers from the fiscal note, that would be, it really would be for only in fiscal year 08 is, it would be $30,000 to the military affairs in the first, it would probably want to put $30,000 as appropriate in fiscal year 2008. And in the second blank, would want to fill in $245,000 in fiscal year 08 is appropriated to the commissioner. Mr. Chairman, I also would mention at this time that military affairs is in state government. This
I know.
Bill may want to be seen by that committee.
Okay. First of all, amendment. Members, line 1.17, fill in the blank. It should say $30,000 in fiscal year 2008. And then on line 1.18, the blank should say $245,000 in fiscal year 2008.
Mr. Chairman, I also, the language, the last sentence on that section, which makes those appropriations available till June 30th, 2009, I'm not, if we make this appropriation in 2008, there would then make that a base number in their budget, and it would then be reappropriated the same amount in 2009. So I'm not it wouldn't seem that that would be appropriate to keep that last sentence in this section. So I'd recommend that be stricken also.
Unless it's the author, Representative Yaros, are you intending to put this in the base, or is this a one-time thing now to see how it's used?
Well, Mr. Chairman, of course, it would be nice to do it in the base, but I know I understand we work from year to year, and, you know, it would be...
Well, Representative Yaros, we'll put it in the base for now, and we can always change it. That's the best case. Members, I'd add to my motion 1.19, delete everything after the first period. Any other questions to that amendment? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Amendment's adopted. Representative Yaros, I think we'll amend our motion to go to state government operations finance, but we will consider our portion of it for our omnibus bill, and you can go see Representative Kahn about her portion of it.
No, that's all right. I think she's got a lot of money there.
But yeah. Any questions for Representative Yaros? All right. I renew my motion that House File 451 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on State Government Operations Finance. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? You're on your way.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. I introduced it alone. I'm too lazy to look for authors. There were some others added, like Sandra Erickson, I think, and others. And I guess they didn't get to be on the bill before it was sent here.
Okay.
But there are other authors of the bill. Thank you.
Very good. Representative Swigum.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
That's our first. Welcome to the committee, Representative Swigum. I'll move Senate File 138. I guess I'd ask you as the author, do you want to, I'd certainly consider putting this in the omnibus bill, but if you want to also send it to the General Register so you have two pathways, or it's up to you.
Mr. Chairman, that would be great to have two pathways. You always try to keep things as many pathways as available.
I like that.
To you.
All right.
But if you put it in the omnibus bill, that's just fine with me.
Well, Representative Swiggum, we will consider it for the omnibus bill, but I'll also make the motion to move it to the general register beyond this. So please welcome the committee and explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Very simply, it's a bill that was carried last year by Representative Pawlowski. Made it to the House, passed the House unanimously on the consent calendar, if I remember correctly. Unfortunately, the Senate did not pass the bill until the last day of the legislative session. And we did not have the opportunity to work out the mechanics between the House and Senate with the bill passing the Senate as late as it did last session. Otherwise, I think it would probably have been done and gone last year with Senator Murphy and Representative Pawlowski. The bill is a very, very simple one addressing the potential of the toxic plants, hazardous plants in the state. I and Representative Pawlowski had a constituent who had a couple of cows died because of a plant called Japanese yew, I believe it is called. When Gene first talked to me, I thought it was a new kind of sheep or something that they were coming forward with. But there is a difficulty with the labeling of these toxic and hazardous plants. It is not being done. And folks, very honestly, if it can kill a sheep or two, if there are some plants out there that are that toxic, might be a kid or two that might get in the way of some of these toxic plants as well. At least we as consumers should be aware of them. We go ahead and buy them, fine, but at least we should have a warning. We should be aware of them. You know, when you buy your plants, you buy your trees, they tell you on the labels how much water to put on it and how deep you should plant it, then maybe it would be a reasonable thing to tell you whether it's a hazardous plant or not. I think, Mr. Chairman, it would be wise in this report that would come back for us to include the University of Minnesota. Mr. Hansen, Representative Hansen, just made a mention to me about the U of M having done some research to this in the background or in the past. And I think that the Commissioner of Agriculture would be wise to include the University of Minnesota in their consultation and their evaluation, their report. And if okay, Mr. Chairman, I would like Representative Hansen to maybe just add the words University of Minnesota as well as the Commissioner of Health in consultation with them.
Representative Hansen.
So moved.
Mr. Sullivan, do you have an amendment for us? Where do you want to put that? We want to include University of Minnesota. I assume on 1.7 it should read Commissioner of Health and the University of Minnesota.
I think if we just simply add those words, it would allow us to utilize the expertise of the university, which I assume the commissioner might do anyway, hopefully he would do anyway, but this would give the directive to do.
So members, Hansen moves to, on 1.7 after health, add the words and the University of Minnesota. Any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Amendments adopted. And you're here, Representative Swiggum, because we checked the fiscal note. I believe there is none.
I have asked for a fiscal note from the department, have not received any, so I'm assuming that they are telling me that the report.
I think we heard there's Mr. Friso, you're back there. You can do this without added burden to your budget. It is none, according to his head nod.
And that's the response I've received.
All right. Any other questions?
I think it's because my roommate.
I think that's it.
I won't get Mr. Hugeson into it.
Representative Finstead has a question.
thank you, Mr. Chair. Your motion was to move it to the general register?
Correct.
I believe it was on the consent calendar last year. Can we do that again? Is there opposition to that? Is there a reason why it would be general register versus consent calendar?
It's up to the author and you if you want to amend that motion.
I don't think it's controversial, but it makes no difference to me, Representative Finstead, if it's on general register consent calendar.
We'll leave it. We'll stick it in the omnibus bill, too. So
I think it was on the consent calendar last year, but it's either way.
All right. Any other questions? Seeing none, I'll renew my motion. Senate File 138, as amended, be recommended to pass, sent to the general register. Any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you, Representative Swiggum. You're on your way.
Chairman Junkie and members, thank you.
Representative Demmer. Was he here? I saw him. Oh, yeah, there he is. This will be our last bill, members. You're going to get an early lunch before session, if Demmer moves fast enough.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again,
Representative Finstead moves House File 100 for possible, is this a stay here, possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
Well, Mr. Chair, after listening to Representative Swigum, I like the idea of consent. That maybe not, Mr. Chair.
Representative Finstead amends his motion. No.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thanks for hearing the bill. Again, I get to be one of the favorite bills of the committee, the last one of the day. Sounds fun. The idea for this came, I'm a small business person, I got businesses in three different communities down in southern Minnesota, Hayfield, Dodd Center, and Cassin. In Hayfield, there's a program we have in the state that uses some federal dollars called Small Housing Development or Small City Community Development Grants. And that's a competitive program that communities can use to try to bring money in to encourage both commercial and housing redevelopment, rehabilitation, if you will. And each community designs their program around either housing or commercial or both, with stipulations as to what they're trying to get done. And in the case of the ones that I took part in, one in Dodge Center and one in Hayfield, the commercial portion, they had of course you had to do private investment, and then they had a matching part where you could get a loan from this fund, and then another part where you could get a loan that turned into a grant if you still owned and operated the business after, say, 10 years. And I saw these programs operate, and in that case it was about 25%, or I think one-third of the project turned into grant after 10 years. That was both the commercial and the homeowner component of it. And I saw in both those communities business people jump on that. It was a nice program. You could do doors and windows and roofs and insulation, and those are the kind of qualifying expenditures. And, Mr. Chair and members, I got, you know, as we've talked about the dairy farming in specifics and the challenges we have trying to keep dairy farms up and going, I thought, why don't we do the same sort of thing for dairy farmers? You know, some of the last things you think about are doors and windows and roofs when you're a small business guy and trying to figure out how to pay enough your employees and that sort of thing. And what that program did for the main streets of Dodge Center and Hayfield was give incentive to business owners to invest and upgrade their facilities. And I thought that would really apply well to dairy farms. We have a lot of dairy farmers that get to be... Mr. Chair, probably people like yours and my age and some of the others at this table, 55 years old, kids coming out of college, maybe interested in coming back to the farm. But do you invest $100,000, $200,000 in the dairy, or do you just kind of milk for 10 more years and let the farm dry up and let the kid go someplace else? Mr. Chair, members, I think that this might be the type of thing that could tip some of those people over in terms of reinvesting in that dairy and bringing them back and get going. So it's pretty basic, pretty simple. What it does is it sets up a fund called the Farm Enhancement Fund. It's specifically set up to be applicable for dairy farmers right now and for dairy facilities. This is not for purchasing short-term equipment. This is for capital-type needs, improvements in the barn, improvements in the facility, but it has to be capital in nature. It calls for $1.5 million to be put into this fund, and it allows farmers, if you will, to borrow up to either $50,000 or 25% of their upgrade project, whichever is less, to use toward their improvement. And if they still own and operate that dairy, or one of their immediate relatives still own or operate that dairy in 10 years, the 25% part they borrowed from this fund would be forgiven both interest and principal. So that's it, Mr. Chair. It's very straightforward, very simple. It's to encourage private investment. This money would leverage, if everybody borrowed the maximum, which they may not, it would generate about $6 million worth of investment for, and if everybody did the max, it'd be about 30 projects for the state. So, Mr. Chair, that's it. In essence, I'd be willing to take questions or
Representative Demmer, my question would be, how is this different than our current RFA loan program?
Well, Mr. Chair, I'm not sure the RFA loan program is something that's forgivable. I think that has to be repaid.
So this is...
And so it's another... The RFA would be another loan program. It's another source of capital, which is good. This is actually... could turn into grant money if you're going to be there for 10 years. You get 25% of your project paid for.
Okay.
That's the difference. And that's the incentive, quite frankly, to do it.
You think, well, I'll be here 10 more years, so I can get 25% of this for this program. If I'm still here, it goes away.
Representative Finstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Demmer, lines 1.8 and 1.12 specifically make this bill dairy animal housing, it references. Can you give me your quick thoughts on why just dairy? As you put this together, and we look at agriculture across the state, and you know, maybe younger people like myself that want to get into farming, and maybe not necessarily dairy, some of the other facilities, what went through your mind when you put this together, other than the obvious?
Representative Demmer.
Well, thank you, Representative Finstead. Mr. Chair, it's a great question and something I did struggle with. The name of the fund is called the Farm Enhancement Fund. I targeted for dairy at this particular point in time because I thought we need to use more of a rifle approach than a shotgun approach. We talked about narrowing the scope because I also had to define the amount of dollars, and I didn't want to make this a huge, you know, $10 million thing. Number one, I didn't think that would work, and number two, I didn't know for sure how it was going to go. So I decided to narrow it. We could have done it geography, you know, instead just a certain part of the state and have all livestock facilities available. We could have done it for just the first number of projects. Could have done it a number of different ways. I decided to use the rifle approach in this particular case, call the fund the Farm Enhancement Fund, which kind of leaves it open in the future, but target it right now in this language to just dairy, where I think we probably have the greatest need. Based on what I was just talking about, my real goal is to, we have lots of empty dairy barns out there. My real goal was to incent that particular part of the livestock sector, and if we can do 30 of those dairies, that'd be great. Actually, I did have a suggestion. Representative Hansen suggested maybe we have some sort of, and I think it's a great idea, some sort of reporting back to see how many loans we did, how effective it was. That's a great idea. That would indicate, number one, was it successful with dairy, but number two, we'd almost get to also get some information back from, and I'm assuming that the Department of Agriculture would be working through local bankers for this, and we'd get some sense back if there was demand for using this in other areas. But specifically, I really felt that the dairy industry, and particularly these small to medium-sized farmers, in fact, some of the best comments I had from constituents, I had this last year too. We didn't have the budget to work with then, so we didn't get anything done. But it was a sustainable dairy farmer that came to me and said, Randy, this is great. This is something that I could utilize almost right away because he was doing some things with his barn. But anyway.
Representative Finstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And that's a great explanation. I mean, I think this lays the groundwork for us as an ag committee to respond quickly to the needs of the ag community. We and I like the idea with the report, so we can come back in a year or two and see how it's working, so then we can focus in with the rifle approach and respond to the market shifts and needs. Right now we know it's dairy. I mean, that's obvious with not only legislation being introduced, but just the pure numbers and the economics that we see from that community. But you know, as we go forward and we look at you know, some of the other strengths in ag in this state, this program then would lay the groundwork for us to respond. So I applaud your efforts, and I would like to see some sort of reporting mechanism that would allow us to have the information then to go back and shift and be willing to shift at a quicker pace than the shotgun approach. So thank you, Representative Demmer.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And after talking with Representative Demmer, I think it's a good idea to get a report. Maybe staff could work on language where the commissioner would report back to the respective committees maybe by January 1, 2009, by 2009. I think the history with, you know, when we had the shortfall with the RFA, it's good for us to kind of check the outcomes and see how things are going. So maybe we can talk for a few minutes and staff would get that written, and then I would move that.
Mr. Sullivan, how quick are you?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Demmer.
Just one further comment, too. And another thing that I think is critical about this, it is a loan for 10 years, Mr. Chair. There's a mortgage on the property, and they would have to stay in business for that 10 years. If they decide to sell the dairy, which is possible, and that would be okay. I mean, we're not talking about something that would probably block them from selling it if they decide to do it. But the investment would be made if they blocked it, if they did decide to sell it. The loan in principle, the entire amount, would be repaid back into this fund, which it's designated as a revolving loan fund, so it would be useful for other projects. So I think the incentive to stay in business for the 10 years, too, it would be something. Whether it's going to be enough to keep them there or not, I don't know, but that's a big part of it, too.
Okay, Representative Hansen moves to amend. Do you have some language for us? That'd be you.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, yes, I do. And Mr. Reinholt is also looking. We believe that the RFA already prepares an annual report on all their loans and all their programs. I couldn't find the statutory reference for that. But we could also certainly put a new subdivision in here on page 2 after line 20. Insert subdivision 6, report no later than February 1st, 2009. The commissioner shall report on the loans made under this section to the House and Senate committees with jurisdiction over agricultural finance.
Okay. You have that amendment. Members, we'll put that in, and if we don't need it, if it goes in the omnibus bill, we'll worry about it then. But for now, let's put it in. Any questions? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Amendments adopted. Any other questions? All right. Representative Demmer, your House File 100 will be laid over as amended for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One final comment. Last year when it was heard, actually, Assistant Commissioner Borbloom actually talked about it. He can't advocate for these things, but he did indicate that he thought this would be a nice non-redundant tool in their toolbox to use as we go forward with promoting agriculture. So I appreciate your consideration.
So is that right? Department's here. You want to come down and testify that? See. Doesn't know.
Again, Mr. Chair, he was very careful not to say he was advocating because they don't do that. My question to him and his testimony at that time was, this is not something that's just a redundant thing. It's something that would be an additional tool.
Oh, wait a minute. Farm agriculture is coming down. Welcome to the committee.
This is not rehearsed, Mr.
State
Chair. You seem to want me to come down.
State your name for the record, please.
Hi, my name is Quinn Cheney. I'm with the Department of Agriculture here in Minnesota. And as I recall, yes, last year, our Assistant Commissioner, Jim Borbloom, who is responsible for the RFA program, did testify that while, of course, we cannot support a program that's not in the governor's budget, that it would be certainly a program that we would be happy to implement.
All right. Any questions for the department on anything at all?
Got her here.
All right. Thank you, Representative Demmer, and thank you, Ms. Cheney.
And thanks, members.
Members, I have no further business. Next week we'll promise to be a bit busier as bills are moving down from policy, and we get a couple weeks away now from putting our bill out. So with that, meeting is adjourned.